you got a bulletin there and you want to write down a few things, that might be good. I'm going to give you some things about Joseph. You say, what can we say about him that hadn't been said already? I'm going to try to put a few things together. So hang on as we begin in Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Last week we talked about Jacob. Jacob is Joseph's dad. Matter of fact, Jacob had several children. He had 12 sons, one daughter. Her name was Dinah. Remember that? This is about his favorite son, Joseph. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers. How old are you, Benjamin? About 10. Yeah, so Benjamin's going to go into prison today. No, not really. Benjamin's going to go into prison and stay till he's 30. Can you imagine that, Benjamin, really? Wow. That's what this man's going to do. So we just can't fathom that. We think, you can't do that. So a young man that's got, you know, a lot going for him. Benjamin's a smart guy, good looking, 12 girlfriends. I mean, he's got a lot of things, fifth in the state swimming, and he's going to go into prison. Joseph's got the same thing. He's got a lot going for him. He said, was he that? Yeah, the Bible will later tell you. He's well-built. He's handsome. Matter of fact, women couldn't stay away from him. Potiphar's wife, dead women, couldn't stay away from him. Joseph's sharp-looking, very intelligent. He's going to end up second in command of Egypt. Tell me about it. So he's Phi Beta Kappa, and he's all this and all that. Athletic-looking. He gets tossed in prison. Now, some people would say, boy, God, you must have messed this up. Really? I don't think so. He's going to save his family from starvation. Matter of fact, he's going to save Egypt from starvation. God knows what he's doing. He's just got to get Joseph to Egypt. James, how you want to get him there? Put him on a bus, trailways? He's in Egypt. That's not how God works. Hitchhike? No. Joseph would have stayed right where he was unless God does something. What's God going to do? Just toss him in prison. Sign him as a slave. Finally end him up over there. Still not where I want him, so I'm going to keep him in. This is the hand of God on Joseph's life. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers. The sons of Bela and the sons of Zilpah. You think, well, who in the world are they? They were the two handmaids of Rachel and Leah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. What would some people say that he just did? He had tattletale.
Hold on.
Did you have to tell him what we were doing? That's the right thing to do. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. We won't get off subject and say that, but it's like, is that good or bad? So Joseph's his favorite. Why might you think it's his favorite? Because Rachel was his mom and he loved Rachel. So is he playing favorites? Yes. Because he had been born to him in his old age. There it is again. Oh. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. What would you say that? I was a little boy. I grew up calling that a different thing. The coat of what? Yeah. Coat of many colors. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. So his brothers were what?
Jealous.
Jealous will eat you up if you let it. What do they call that? The
green monster.
Green-eyed monster?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Like, just when we thought we couldn't hate you anymore, we do. Hate's risen to a new level. Because here was his dream. Listen to the dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field and selling. My sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Okay, let me get this right. We're going to bow down to you? You're the baby of the family right now. We don't like that too much. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? By the way, we know the end of this story. Did he reign over them?
Yes.
Yes, he did. This is prophetic utterance right here. Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? Yes, he will. They hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. There's so many things I can give you from this right here. If I tell people God loves you and God's got a plan and God, you know, God sent his own son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for what? Your sins. And yet you say, oh, so I'm a sinner? Is that what you're saying? So I guess you're perfect. I didn't say I was perfect. Didn't say you're a horrible, rotten sinner. But, well, you are a horrible, rotten sinner, but so am I. I don't like you anymore. Why? You tell me stuff I don't want to hear. Guess what? Here we go. Every time you witness somebody, the cross is offensive.
It is offensive.
But don't tell me about the cross, and don't tell me I need to change, and don't tell me what I need to do. These brothers are doing it. Don't tell me what I'm not going to bow down to you. Okay, we'll see about that. And they hate him all the more.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had another dream. He told it to his brothers. Listen, this is a sequel of dream one. Listen, he said, I had another dream. Yeah, here it comes. This time, the sun and the moon and 11 stars are bowing down to me. Wait a minute, the sun and the moon. So, who did he just now put into this? Mom and dad didn't escape. So when he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to Joseph, can I see you sucking up here? I love you. You are my favorite. And what are you doing? Just saying what God told me. What is this dream you've had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept the matter in mind. You see the difference? His father sort of like, okay, I'm open to this because God. Well, why was Jacob more like that? Not only because it was his dad, but we talked about last week, Jacob slept on what we call a what? A rock. So Jacob slept on a rock, saw the stairway to heaven. There, you know, angels ascending and descending, and he's open to what God, and he makes a final decision to say, God, this is it. His brother Esau, he thought was going to kill him. Esau didn't kill him. Esau just forgave him. And so he's solid with God, and that's why he kept the matter in hand. I don't think his brothers are that way. The light is gone, so we'll keep reading. Verse 12. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, as you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them. Very well, he replied. He's obedient. So he said to him, go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks and bring word back to me. So he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, what are you looking for? I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing flocks? They moved on from here, the man answered. I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. All right, I'll give you this thing. Brennan, you ever heard this? What I think about, assume what I'll say. What I say, assume what I'll do. What I do over and over becomes a habit. And my habits, so what I think, what I say, what I do becomes my habits, and my habits soon become my character.
Mm-hmm.
They become who I am. Well, who have his brothers become? What do they talk about? What do they dwell on?
Hatred.
So much so that when he shows up right here, what have they been talking about long before he arrives? I've had it. You know, hey, oh, in that coat, he's dead. They just punch him in the face. Wait a minute, here he comes. Wow. Y'all just been, got the pot on the stove simmering a patriot.
Mm-hmm.
I feel sorry for his brothers. I know I'm going to be different. Some people are like, hey, brothers are awful. I sort of feel sorry for them in a way, though. Because if I put muriatic acid in the styrofoam cup and I'm going to throw it on Mark, guess what it's going to do? It will go through that cup and eat me long before I ever get him. And if I say, well, I hate you. Mark doesn't even know that. I'm just tearing my insides up and getting ulcers and hating everybody. Mark doesn't even know. So his brothers, they probably got drinking a case of Maalox every day to keep their nerves in shape. Joseph don't care. Does he know he dislikes them? I don't think he knows it to this degree. Sure, I step on their toes, and sure they don't. I don't think he had any idea they were what.
He's just bad.
I think I reached the point that, well, God wants to kill me. You're still my brothers. So when he shows up to see how they're doing, but when they saw him in the distance, and before he even reached him, wow, they plotted to kill him. I wonder how we can just end this. Who are they thinking of right here? Themselves. One person that they were not considering is not mentioned right here in these few verses. Who were they not considering?
Their daddy.
Their daddy. You're going to crush him. Tim, I didn't ask permission, but I'll throw it at you anyway. I won't even ask you because it's a rhetorical question, but it's not part of us don't feel like it's fair to bury our own son. Like, I should die before you do. My daddy had to bury my oldest brother. That tears your heart out. What's Joseph? He's going to be used by his brothers to just crush his daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all know this story. When he shows up, they tear his robe off. Of course, throw him in the well, dip it in an animal, and a needless, innocent animal had to die to get blood. And then they take it back and, hey, daddy, Joseph's gone. And in the back of their mind, yes, I don't have to put up with him anymore. What's his daddy? Just what I just said, daddy shouldn't have to bury his own kids. You've taken the love of my life, Rachel's own son. Wow. You say, well, if you still got Benjamin, well, he's only got two kids born by Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph is the one who's much older. I think he's about 10 to 15 years older than Benjamin. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. See, they're making fun of him already. Hate is out of control. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. When Reuben heard this, Reuben's the oldest, he tried to rescue him from their hands. Like, okay, maybe we're going to take this a little too far. Let's not take his life. Let's be mean to him, but let's not be that mean. Don't shed any blood. Just throw him here in the cistern. Throw him in a well here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him. Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So Reuben at least is trying to do, let's postpone death because then I can talk him out of it and then we'll let him live. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe. Why did they do that? Because that robe meant a lot to him. Let me hit him where it hurts. By the way, I've taken a few counseling classes at Liberty, and I'm not the expert counselor. But if I ever do that with people, if a couple is talking to me, I'll teach them how to fight fair. What's that mean? Certain areas are off limits.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to talk to me, we'll do that. But you cannot, we can't go there. Well, what about your, wait a minute now, you're just picking. It's funny how when people don't like you, they'll bring up things from the past. Does God do that?
No.
Your sins he'll put in the sea of his forgetfulness, as far as east is to west. Their lawless acts I'll remember no more. And yet we, 12 years ago on a Tuesday, Lady Moses, quit doing that. They took the thing that meant the most. They stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing. They took him and threw him into the cistern. I wonder how gently they let him down in that well. As far as they didn't break his arm throwing him in there. Do you think he's fighting back?
I would think so.
Later we were told, they said when they remember him from years gone by, they said, don't you remember how he looked at us that day? Looking for mercy and don't hurt me. He's pleading with them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. Cistern was empty. Good thing he was drowned. There's no water in it. And then, let me ask you, quick quiz time here. When Jacob sold his birthright to Esau, or when Esau sold his birthright to Jacob, mm-hmm. It said then Esau sat down and did what? He ate his stew there and got up and left and went on his way. Meaning, he didn't care at all. You just give away something precious. Look at these boys right here. They throw their brother in the well. Verse 25. Look, they sit down to eat their meal. Does it not bother y'all that you just threw a man in a well, your own brother, and you want him to die? Hey, pass Fritos. I mean, what's the deal? I mean, if you and I do something mean, I'm glad we did. The Holy Spirit convicts us. You say, man, I tossed and turned. I got to get up tomorrow and call so-and-so down. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done more. I'm glad of it. Holy Spirit just rotisserie chicken, man. A bit. He just turns you into it. I'm glad. Because when you start sinning and it doesn't bother you, wow, you're dangerous right there. First of all, I wonder, are you saved? Because the Holy Spirit says, if you can't sin, and I will come to you. Wow. These boys don't care. As he sat down to eat the meal, they looked up and saw a caravan. By the way, some people would see that caravan and think, oh, no. Actually, God's sending that to rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Rescue comes in many different forms. It's a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. God's going to get Joseph to Egypt. Look at this. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Hey, let's make a dime off of him. Let's make a profit. Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother. Now y'all claim him our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. Yeah, sounds like a good idea. Sounds like we need some money. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled up Joseph out of a cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver. As I understand it, the shekels then, at least a couple of commentators I've looked at, they say that's the price of a slave there. I know they sold Jesus for how many pieces?
30
pieces. I don't know if it's inflation or what, but basically it's selling the price of a slave. 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned, he's probably, you know, stacking up firewood over there and goes to look for Joseph and says, "I'm going to help him out." Oh, he's gone. He tore his clothes. He went back and said, "Hey, the boy isn't there. Where can I turn now? What's going on?" "Oh, we got Joseph out, so he went to sleep." What are we going to tell Dad? Why could they not tell his dad the truth?
He'd go get him back.
Yeah, we sold our brother as a slave. You what? We got to come up with a good story. What's that old, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice intimacy? Let's add another lie into the mix. Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat for no reason at all, dipped the robe in the blood, and they took the ornamented robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Look, examine it." I don't know how they kept a straight face or kept from crying. "Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." I always think it's sort of ironic that they carried his bone around when Moses took over. They carried Joseph's bones around for years before they buried him there in Hebron. Right here, they can't even find the body. Surely he's dead. Like, or is he? Not a trace. Oh. That animal must have saved him up. So Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "in mourning I will go down to my grave and to my son." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. Now, I won't go through verse by verse of everyone, but I want to show you something a little bit about this message today. We started off being established. After being established, we pick up, of all those people, we talk about this boy in the coat of many colors, and there's Jacob and Joseph, and he's so proud of that young 17-year-old son. And he had a big family, 12 daughters, one daughter, Dinah. Favorite son was Joseph. And then Joseph was sold into slavery. So he packed his bags and he left home and, what, never to be heard of again? Well, I've got a question for you. He was sold as a slave. And jump over to chapter 39. Things seem to be going a little bit better for him. He sold Midianites by him. Then they sell him to Potiphar. Potiphar is sort of in charge of Pharaoh's army. It's like the imperial guard. So Joseph's been taken out of Egypt. And I don't want to go through all of chapter 39, but I'll just show you. You think he's finally found a home. Well, he's not where God wants him just yet. So God's going to use an amazing story to get into the next level. And he's going to be accused. Don't raise your hand just to tell a story, but at least, has anybody ever been falsely accused? What do you feel like doing? That's not the truth. And you want to set it straight immediately. Maybe God's testing. I don't know. I don't know how I can be some people's favorite teacher in the world. Brendan says I ain't, right, Brendan? Brendan,
just want to be a little louder.
Okay. No, I'm favorite teacher of some people. No, I can't. I wish you'd quit telling those stories. Brendan, did you ever mind stories? I hate the book. I'd rather tell stories.
I mean, I learned.
Stories are good. It gets me to learn. I teach like I like to be taught. You just go, verse 1. It goes straight through that. Oh, this is so boring. You know what oversteer and understeer? You remember all that from gravity, right? Don't tell everybody what people say. Understeer and oversteer. I can give you two definitions for 5 minutes. I heard a man talk for an hour and a half. I thought I'd jump off a bridge. How much can you say? Of course, he had a PhD beside his name, so he felt like he was amazingly intelligent. And just let me explain every little detail. But please don't. You know, it's like on and on and on. God, give me grace. You're teaching me. Joseph has got to be in one of those classes. It's like, okay, I'm finally settled down. God says, you're not where I want you to be. Okay, so he has Potiphar's wife accuse him of trying to attack him. Now, I gave you a big old hint right there. Answer this question. What did Joseph's brothers and Potiphar's wife have in common? They lied. Keep going.
Thinking only of themselves?
Yeah, they want to propel themselves. They don't want to. The brothers don't want to tell the dad the truth to say, you know what, Joseph's probably got a good point. We just hate him because he won't do what we want. Mm-hmm. Potiphar's wife, Joseph won't do what I want, so I'm going to turn on him. Keep going. What else did they have in common? I just thought this caught me the other day in this familiar story. This will give you a hint right here. What did Joseph's brothers do?
They took his coat.
There you go. They both took his coat off of him. His brothers took it off, dipped it in blood, shows it to Jacob for what? For proof, for evidence. Joseph's dead. Why? Look, this Hebrew that you brought to take care of us is made for him. He tried to attack me today. And here's his coat to prove. Again, showing evidence to Potiphar. Hey, he tried to attack me. This proves. That don't prove anything. I bet you Potiphar had a tough time right here. He probably thought, he probably wanted to just, there's a bottom of the prison. But my wife, I know she does lie a lot and she dresses like she, anyway. I've got it. I'm going to toss you in prison. Well, if you got to. I think he puts him in prison. Is it a tough prison? Well, he's not busting rock or anything like that. But he put Joseph in chapter 39. I like this. Joseph says, my master has withheld nothing from me because with him, he doesn't worry about a thing. Joseph's well-built, handsome, got a lot going for him. He has rose to the occasion of being the best guy that Potiphar probably ever had worked for him. Now he's tossed into prison. Verse 21. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge. Guess what? Of all those held in the prison, he's once again rose to second in command. He's probably the top trustee. Outside the warden, he's running the show. He had made responsible for all that he had done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care. No words, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. I got a question for you. How much did Potiphar worry, of course, before his wife lied? How much did Potiphar worry about Joseph? Not a bit. How much does a warden in a prison worry about Joseph? Not a lick. How much does his brothers worry? All the time. So we got two heathen people over here, the warden most likely and Potiphar, could care less about the God Jehovah, and they're not worried, they're not intimidated, they're not threatened by Joseph. These brothers can't wait to get rid of him. Isn't it? By the way, God's still in charge, so he finally he tosses him in prison, and a cupbearer and a baker show up, and they get tossed in prison too, and Joseph interprets a dream, and he says, cupbearer, a few days from now, you get to go back into service. Baker, got bad news for you. You want to die. A few days later, guess what? His dream comes true. This is sort of scary. Chapter 40, Joseph told him what it meant. Chapter 40, verse 12, the three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. You'll put Pharaoh's cup in his hand just as you used to. So cupbearer, good news. When all goes well with you, he said this, remember me. What did the thief on the cross say to Jesus?
Remember me.
You got it. I won't forget you. What's this guy? You got it. And 2 years later, he remembered Joseph. Remember me. I just have a feeling, hey, you got it. You showed me kindness. I showed you kindness, so mention me to Pharaoh. Get me out of this prison. I like that. And the fact that Joseph is faithful. He's not a griper. He's not a complainer. But he finally shows that he's human. Get me out of this prison. For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. So the bottom line, get me out of here. A few days later, what he says happens. And by the way, he says he put me in a dungeon. Only God can probably about do, God's going to do an amazing thing. 2 years passed. Pharaoh's having some dreams that he cannot interpret. So finally, the cupbearer says, hey, you know what? There's a guy in prison who interpreted a dream for me 2 years ago. And so, man, we ought to go get him. By the way, now, where did Joseph say, get me out of this? What did he use that word?
Dungeon.
He's going to go from the dungeon to what? Domination. Or he's going to, set besides Pharaoh, he's going to go to top place. He's going to go from the lowest to the highest. Only God can do that. So here we go. Today I'm reminded of my shortcomings, says the cupbearer in verse 9 of 41, chapter 41. Today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants. You know, he tossed me in the prison. Each of us had a dream. And the baker, we told him about our dreams. He interpreted, and guess what? So now watch, key verse right here. Genesis 41:14. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. From the dungeon to the throne room. Wow. Where he had shaved, when he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Why did he have to shave and change his clothes? He's got to be presentable. We're going in front of the emperor right here. We're in front of Pharaoh. So he shaves and cleans him up. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I heard you can do it. What do you think? I love Joseph's answer. Verse 18, I cannot do it. What? Everybody says you could. I cannot do it. But God can. And God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Okay, and he interprets his dream. Long story short, there's going to be a famine. You better have somebody in place here to save up all the food. For the first 7 years, it's going to be great. The next 7 years, it's going to be awful. Not only the Hebrews, surrounding nations are going to die. Egypt, but you don't have somebody in place to put everything in place for you. You know what Pharaoh says? Sounds like you already know what needs to be done. You've got the job.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Congratulations. And here's this thing that I've used as a wax seal. You take over. If you ever need anything. Joseph is once again, just like he rose to second in command under Potiphar, he rose to second in command with the warden. He's now rose to second in command to Pharaoh alone. Man, Joseph can't keep a good man down. Here he is. How many times would you have given up along the way? I'd have died back there at the well. I'd have punched Reuben in the face and said, don't throw me in the well. They'd probably have to kill me right there. I'd never even made it to the Ishmaelites. All right, Ishmaelites, how long would you have lasted? Work my board, slave. Don't call me slave. I'm like, well, bring it on. Yeah, we're getting fighting the Ishmaelites. Finally make it up to Potiphar. Greg walk in there, and some of y'all, Potiphar's wife looking good. She wouldn't have to tempt you. You went after her. And she comes in there with that good-looking red dress on, midnight madness or something, sprayed on, and walks past you. That's, ooh. That's all it took. Instead of us going, what if she came over to you? You like that? Yeah, what is it? Shell no pest strip? Walk off from her. Essence of sheep dip. Would you have said that to her and just made her get out of my face? Or would you have left a coat? Okay, once more in the prison and then a couple of people get mad at him there. How about the baker? I don't like your dream you've done. I'm just telling you the truth. Mm-hmm. Cupbearer loves you. You're going to go back. Baker, you're going to die. Like your dream. Finally, he's in a good place. You know what? If he was like his brothers who lived on hatred, what would he do? I'm going to go back to my brothers now.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in the dead man walking. You get Reuben. No, I won't kill Reuben. He tried to say that's Simeon. Always not there. Levi will be wearing one jean. I'm going to smack all of them. I'm going to pay back time. He doesn't think that at all. See, he doesn't live on hate. He goes on and says, God found, he found favor with God no matter where he went.
Mm-hmm.
May that be said of all of us. So he interprets the dream. He's in second in command. Last part of chapter 41 says, Joseph in charge of Egypt. What a title. Joseph is now 30 years old. So Benjamin, you've been in prison for 13 years. You just now walked out a free man. You not only walked out, you're in charge of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome home, Joseph. Chapter 42, the famine is so severe, Joseph's brothers go to see him. They don't know who he is. They show up. Joseph has a little fun with them. No, what he's doing is testing them. He accuses them of being spies. And they said, no, we're not spies. And I like their answer. chapter 42, verse 13, when he accuses them of being spies, chapter 42, verse 13, he says, "Your servants were 12 brothers, the sons of one man who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father," that's Benjamin, "and one is no more." What does that little phrase tell you right there? They never forgot. But now, they do feel bad for what they've done. "One is no more." Joseph said to them, "It's just as I told your spies." No. "I tell you what, send one of your number, go back and get your brother. The rest of you, I'm going to keep you in prison." I wonder if those words flowing out of his mouth didn't have a little bit more of a ring. But "I'm going to put you in prison." I'll stop it at that. What would you have said? "Let me let you see how it feels."
Mm-hmm.
"I'm going to send you in there for 3 days. I stood in there for 13 years. They don't like prison." On the third day, Joseph said, "Do this, you'll live." Read verse 21, and I'll wrap up here. Verse 21, they said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress is coming." How long do you think they've carried that? And Reuben, "Did I tell you not to sin against the boy?" That's an "I told you so."
Mm-hmm.
"But you wouldn't listen." "Nope." Now we got to give an accounting for his blood. They did not realize Joseph could understand him since he was using an interpreter. He turned away from them and began to weep. Joseph, they just now passed Joseph's test. He can tell they've changed. So they go back and get Benjamin, bring Benjamin, and he just can't stand it anymore. And he finally breaks down and tells them who he is, and they think, "Oh no, he's going to kill us." And he says, "No, I forgive you. Matter of fact, you can do something for me. Now go back and get Dad. I want all of you to come to live with me and meet you." I would cry at that. Now I'll show you a parallel. Joseph says, "Go back and get the family. I want you to live with me here." Does that sound like anybody? That sounds like Jesus to me. He says, "Jesus, I've been rotten to you." He said, "I forgive you. Go back and get your family. Bring them all. I want you to live with me in heaven. I want you to go get the whole family." But I don't deserve it. I know it's called grace.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph goes and gets his family. Jacob and all of them move in. They stay with him. Potiphar is so impressed. He says, "Can I have some land? Or what do you want? Land of Goshen looks good." Granny Reed, our granny used to say, "Land of Goshen, child." So they, "What parcel of land do you want?" "Land of Goshen." "Okay, Land of Goshen, right over there. You got it." And Joseph, he gives him the best land for his family. Brings his family up and they live in the best land, and Potiphar's so impressed, he says, "Whatever you want, your family gets." When his daddy finally dies, even the Egyptians cry. So Joseph makes himself known, brings his family in. Do they live happily ever after? For the most part, yes. And so Joseph's journey from Israel. Joseph is entitled. I'm going to give you the last things and we'll leave. If in your bulletin, I don't know if you want to write this down. I hope I just whet your appetite to read for the rest of Joseph's story. But in your bulletin, you could say Joseph is entitled. Was he truly entitled? What would you say if someone's entitled? It's fine. Now, however you want to read that, for my lack of, I just said he's entitled. I'm going to rise to something, God told me. He's envied. His brothers hate him. Joseph is emptied. He's emptied into a well. Then Joseph is enslaved. Joseph is enlisted into Potiphar's army, so to speak. Potiphar's top dog, imperial army there. Joseph escapes, that is, God helped him escape. And Joseph ends up being second in command of Pharaoh. I just wanted to make another E, so I just needed to move in. So you see, he felt he was favored, and he was favored. His father loved him. He had the colorful coat. He had everything to make his brothers jealous. And again, us feel for his brothers. You get tired of, what would we call this in the classroom? This is the teacher's head. Now, you got a 62, Chris. You doubled your score. You got a 41 this time.
Woohoo!
And, Tim and Gene both made 100. Gene made a 60, Tim made a 40. Both y'all got 100, and Mark got another 90. Oh, Mark is so proud. We hate him.
Right.
Why don't you fail like us, Mark? Come on, you got India, you can fail. We get jealous of the people that do well. What kind of feel? I would want you to do well. He's favored.
Mm-hmm.
His brothers hate him. Thrown into a well, sold to passerbyers. I did that on purpose. Tim, did you catch that? My English was passerbyers. They bought him. Had a blue light special going on right there. They sold it. Serves under Potiphar. Set free by Pharaoh. I like how Joseph did that. He wrote his own, what do you call that when you apply for a job?
Resume.
Here's my resume. You need a guy in here that runs this place so the family won't hurt anybody, who knows how to calculate things, thinks ahead. Can you do that?
Yes.
You got the job. Thank you. From prison to palace, all in 24 hours. And he becomes the leader of the land. He not only saves all the Hebrews, the Israelites, he saves Egypt. How are we like Joseph? We often are misunderstood, mistreated, messed with in this world. We have the opportunity to still be our best for God. Joseph's still best wherever he went. God is not surprised, shocked, or ashamed of us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so sorry you're in prison. No, he's not. Even in the back of a police car, or even in the front of a classroom, mm-hmm. or even wherever you are, God loves you. Quit living, James. I've had it. That's the last thing. I'm sorry. You've reached your quota. Most of us went through our quota long ago. God's not surprised. God will give us opportunities. And if we're patient enough, God's going to deliver us from whatever or wherever we are, and God will reward us faithfully. So I'm just wondering, what do we do? Well, we commend ourselves to Christ. We finish with Joseph in the book of Genesis. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, I just want to be encouraged today that we all can be Joseph. Whether we feel like we're mistreated, or we get paid enough at our job, or we're treated the same as somebody else, Lord, help us to do what Colossians 3:23 says. Whatsoever you do, do your work heartily as unto the Lord. So may I be the best driver's ed teacher that saves one's God. May I be the teacher that doesn't complain or gripe about everything. We're certainly going to have a chance to do that in the next couple of days. People won't like the schedule or the things that we're doing. I pray that I'd be found positive. I pray, Jesus, you challenge us all to be like Joseph today. And Joseph was just a great image of what you would later be in the New Testament. You'd be the one that's hated by his brothers, and sold as a slave, and mistreated, and abused, and slapped, and scourged. And yet you forgave people, and you wanted to bring everybody home with you. I'm thankful that there's a home for those who trusted you as Savior. And a home of heaven. We get that to look forward to. So Lord, we ask you today, encourage your hearts. Thank you that you walk with us wherever path we go. So Lord, now even these few quiet moments of luxury found in today's chaotic world, give us calmness and help us to be quiet. Quiet. Be still and know you're God. Help us to talk to you and commit ourselves even now. Take a deeper commitment, a deeper walk, bigger heels in, to say this world will not be without a witness. So Jesus, strengthen us, help us, hold us, heal us, not feeling our best. Take good care of us. I know you can. Bless your families. We ask for these things in